I'm really excited to be back with you guys. It's been a little while for me to be here, and I'm just really happy to be able to speak the word of God into this moment and into our hearts, hopefully by God's grace, that we gain something, some new understanding, maybe even about ourselves, about the word. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, because that's where we're going to hang out. But as I was thinking about like this, what to talk about, because, you know, Cliff kind of gave me just... I could talk whatever I want to talk about, which, you know, for a minister, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, like, so you kind of start thinking about like, oh, I can talk about whatever I want to talk about, because sometimes here, like, we have to talk about certain things that people want to talk about. So the fact that Cliff was like, hey, you can say whatever you want. You can talk about whatever you want, not say whatever you want, but you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. So I've been thinking about this idea of effort and diligence, and like, what does it really mean for us to be diligent or to put forth effort? Right? What does it really mean for us to be diligent or to put forth effort? And I was thinking about that question, and because it sounds like a simple thing, and I think every one of us in this room know like what it feels like to put effort into things. We all know the pursuit of putting effort into things, or how we feel when we want to put effort into things. But like, and really what that is just a determination. You're determined to do something that you have set out to do. So you're determined to go a certain way. You're determined to, you know, make something happen. You're determined in your pursuit of whatever it is you feel like you need to be doing, right? So that's diligence or effort. But why, the next question is, why do we diligently pursue certain things over others? Why do you choose to pursue, or diligently pursue some things over others? Because every one of us in this room have pursuits. We all have things that we pour into, right? For some of you, it took effort just to get out of bed this morning, right? And I don't mean that in a mean way, like, but you know, look, it's an effort for me. Like with this cold weather, I don't know about you, but in this cold, why is it when cold weather happens, you want to hibernate? You know what I mean? Like there is something built deep down inside. I don't want to get out of bed in the morning because, listen, I love my wife. I'm going to preface it with that. I love my wife, but she loves it freezing cold in our household. So like during the winter months, our household, the heat is set at 68 degrees. Yes, yeah. So you're with me. So like it's 68 degrees in my home when I wake up in the morning, right? Like, and so I literally have 3 blankets that I sleep with on top of me because like I need to, and I have clothes on, like I have pajamas on. Like, and I get up and my hands are freezing cold. Struggle's real. Anyway, sometimes it is a real effort to get out of bed in the morning. But I know I have to, right? Because I got to do life. But sometimes just doing life is effort. You know what I mean? For some of you in this room, just being in here this morning, you had to put forth diligence and effort. So sometimes we put forth effort and diligence because it's important to us, right? There are some of you in this room who love to do certain things more than others, right? That's all of us, right? And I don't know what it is for you. How many of you have a hobby in this room, right? You know why you have a hobby? Because you at some point fell in love with doing something, and now you put a lot of diligence and effort into doing that thing, right? How many of you love to fish in this room? Okay, you really have to put effort into fishing, right? Because those little suckers, they don't want to just come to you, you know what I mean? Like you have to want to fish, you know what I'm saying? Like how many of you hunt in this room, have been hunting? Wow, hey, I love that. That's amazing, yeah, yeah. You don't see a lot of women hunters, you know what I mean? Like where they're out there on the hunt with their bows, you know? Do we not do that anymore? We have guns now. Anyway, with our spears and our, anyway. But no, you have to put forth effort. I talked with a guy this week about hunting, and he was like, he's like, I almost gave up, but it was a mile to my car because he was freezing, and he was sitting in a tree waiting for a deer, because that's what you do. You just sit there waiting all day. That's diligence. Because I give up. Like, if I don't see a deer within five, like, I'm not a hunter. So if within 10 to 15 minutes, if a deer doesn't cross my path, I'm giving up. You know what I mean? Because I got better things to do. That's not a place I want to spend my diligence in. But we always, listen, you will always put forth effort in things you love. You will always do that, right? It takes endurance and kind of a desire to change, to put forth effort into things that are hard. But if love is the driving force of our effort, we'll do it every time. I love my kids. I really do. I love my kids. And when my kids ask me for something, I don't have to conjure up the effort to give it to them. No, my desire is that they always have it. Or that they have what they need. We also believe that the reward is greater than, or the effort we're putting into it is worth the reward, right? Are you guys with me? We're going somewhere with this. Just hang tight. Buckle up. It's gonna be a bumpy ride. Some of us are putting our effort and diligence into things that have no bearing on life whatsoever. At the end of the day, it's not gonna matter how many deer you killed, how many fish you caught, how good you were at the hobby you were good at. I love playing basketball. It's one of my favorite things in the world. I love playing basketball, but there's coming a point where I won't be able to do that anymore physically, right? And it's coming up quick. Okay? Because when I get done playing basketball, but there's still this desire in me to practice and get better at it. And I'm like, what? For what? I'm short and I'm somewhat athletic, but I'm not making it to the professionals. You know what I mean? And I will put forth tons of effort into something that will have, yes, it's good for me physically. Yes, it's good for me. Like, you know, I get to get out and get my mind off things. But like, it essentially has no bearing on my life for the rest of my life. But I spend every Tuesday night playing basketball. I don't know what it is that you pursue diligently. But Peter gives us this look into diligence, and it's pretty convicting. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Let's go into that scripture. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So he's writing to the church. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. So his divine power has given us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness, right? So to live this life in which he's called us to live. Through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. So what is it? What's the corruption? What causes corruption in the world? What's causing that corruption? Well, one is that people put their effort and diligence into things that aren't good for them. Why is the world so corrupt? Why is it so full of lust and all the debauchery and evil and all those different things? Well, because people are putting their diligence into effort into things that aren't good for them or for anyone else. Because sin has hijacked our passions, sin has hijacked our desires, sin has hijacked our reason for living, and because of that, your and my pursuits are skewered. So we pursue things that ultimately have no bearing on life whatsoever. There's a reason why pornography is a pandemic in our country. And it's because we love pleasure rather than loving God. And our pursuits are diligent. Listen, there are men in our own church that their effort and their diligence is put into seeing how many people they can see naked on the internet. Somebody say, preach it, brother. No, I'm sure. There are women in our church whose pursuit and diligence and effort is put into reading books that are just as bad as pornography. Because women, you're a little bit more hidden with it. Not so much, though. We're kind of getting to it. We instinctively at times pursue the things that we shouldn't. Let's go back to, now for this very reason, for what very reason? For the fact that, so for this very reason, well, what's the reason? For the reason that you have been given everything you need pertaining to life and godliness. So if you're a Christian in this room, you've been given everything you need to live the life in which God has called you to live. Everything. So you are without excuse. I'm without excuse. I don't have an excuse not to live for God. I don't have that excuse. I'm no longer of this world. I no longer have that excuse. I can no longer look at God and go, I'm ignorant of who you are or what you've done for me. I no longer have that excuse. You no longer have that excuse. No, your life should reflect the glory and goodness of God. That's what it should reflect. Your life should reflect godliness and kindness and all the things that God has called us to. Your life should reflect that. So if it doesn't, listen, we have an advocate with the Father, right? If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. I'm not saying we're perfect in this room. None of us in this room are perfect, amen? Except for maybe Ron. Who did communion. He's kind of perfect. I'm just joking. Marty's sitting next to him like, no, he's not. I'm married to him. Just joking. Now, for this very reason, also applying all diligence. So that word diligence, some of your Bibles, if you have a Bible, it could be effort, determination, but diligence. So now for this very reason, also applying all diligence, effort. So there's something you gotta be doing, right? Are we there? Okay, so you put diligence and effort into all kinds of different things. Well, now Peter is saying, the one thing you should be putting all of your diligence into is that what I'm about to tell you, right? Because you're called to diligently pursue this. With all of your effort, with everything that you have, you're called to pursue these things. We have spent too much time in America pursuing a dream that doesn't exist. When there's a reality of a kingdom that does exist, and everyone will face that king one day. But we sit in our churches and we act Christian for a short amount of time, and then we leave here, and I don't know if our lives really look that much different than the people that are around us. Because we're buying into a dream, into a thought that the world and our country and our culture has pushed upon us to say you can have everything you want, you can indulge in everything you could ever possibly fathom indulging in. And it's Satan's deception rampaging our world. and no more than America. America is the top, the cream of the crop when it comes to indulgence. In fact, from a very major grace of God in your life, you aren't doing that right now. It's all the grace of God. None of us pursue God apart from his grace or his mercy. But all that grace and mercy that he's giving you, the diligence needs to be in pursuing him. In your faith, supply moral excellence. Another word for that's virtue. So now for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith. So all diligence in your faith, all pursuit, all everything you have, supply moral excellence or virtue, right? So grow in moral excellence. Do the things you know you ought to do. Do the things in which God is calling you to do. Live the way in which God wants you to live. That's moral excellence. It's doing the things you know you ought to do, even when you don't want to do them. Amen? And in your moral excellence, knowledge. So so Peter's getting ready to go on this like train of like moral excellence, knowledge, perseverance, self-control, all these different things. Moral excellence leads to knowledge. How? Because this knowledge is not just knowing things, it's knowing how to live the way in which you're called to live. So when you're adding moral excellence to your life, you grow in the knowledge of how to actually do the things you should be doing. Does that make sense? So you no longer you've learned the pitfalls of temptation, you've learned the pitfalls of like falling away or doing things you shouldn't. You've learned all those things in the growth of your moral excellence. Does that make sense? Because you realize with God, you're like, okay, I shouldn't do that. God wants me not doing that thing. And some of you learned it by sin, right? You sinned and you're like, God, I'm sorry. I realized that was wrong, right? And then you pursue not to do it anymore. That's growing in moral excellence. Does that make sense? That moral excellence, when you grow in that way, you have the knowledge on how to defeat the enemy in those areas of your life. Are you with me? So you have victory. Moral excellence, knowledge. Self-control, because if you have that knowledge, if you have the knowledge on how you live, how you should live morally, and if you've grown in the victories that you have over and over again, you end up having self-control. You no longer run into the things you used to run into. Amen? Now, this is a progressive thing. None of us just arrive at that. None of us, Jesus didn't come to us and shoot us up with holy, you know, serum and be like, you're good now, right? No, it's a process, and God is growing you like a child. When you came out of your mother's womb, you didn't come out walking, praise the Lord, right? That would have been crazy. Having a baby just comes out walking everywhere and you don't know where they are. You didn't come out that way, right? No, you had to learn how to crawl, right? And then from crawling, you had to learn how to walk. And then from walking, you had to really learn how to walk. Because, you know, like when you first start walking as a baby, it's that whole like weird, like, you know what I mean? And then you fall like every 5 seconds. It makes sense? Some of you are just crawling in this stuff right now. You're crawling in moral excellence. You're going, some of you though have been crawling for too long. Self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, because perseverance, self-control produces perseverance. The more self-controlled I am, the more I'm gonna persevere in the things I know that are good for me and that I ought to do, right? Perseverance, godliness, because the more I'm persevering in the moral excellence, the more godly I'll be. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness, the more godly I become, the more I'm going to love other people. Make sense? And to brotherly kindness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, so they're not just ours, but they're increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from sins from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent, there's that word again, to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Wait, I thought we had entrance into the eternal kingdom. So as Peter's saying, as I do these things, that heaven is even more open to me. I'll let that hang in the air. I have three things for us today. The first one is God has given us everything we need to love him, or to live for him. He's given you everything you need. He's given you everything you need pertaining to life and godliness. He's filled you with his Holy Spirit. Now live for him, right? Second thing is this. God's promises should drive us to be diligent in our pursuit of godliness. God's promises, what he's promised to you, eternal life, a home with him, should drive us to be diligent in our pursuit of godliness. The problem is we love other things more than God. So we'd rather have those things than God. What if, this is just a question, and I'm not saying this is how it works out, but what if our love for God and the pursuit of these things is what opens up the reality and power of God in our lives? Because when you're so focused on this world, then faith takes a back seat. And when faith takes a back seat, you start to lose your hope, you start to lose your joy, you start to lose everything in Christ that you had at the beginning. Remember Peter and Jesus in the boat, right? And he steps out, and Peter's locked on Jesus, man, locked. And all of a sudden, the wind and the waves stir up, and he takes his eyes off Jesus, and he starts to sink. You take your eyes off Jesus, you're going to start to sink back into the things of the world, back into the things that are not of God. If we're not pursuing Christ's likeness, that's the next thing. If we're not pursuing Christ's likeness, then we have forgotten what Christ has done for us. Listen, if you are not pursuing Christ, if you are not growing in your relationship with God, if you are not growing in moral excellence, if you're still the same mean, you know, rotten, you know, person you were before Jesus, then you don't have Jesus. You don't have him. And there's one fear I have, is that we would leave. The people that come into this building would come to this building playing church, thinking they're okay when they're not okay. Listen, every one of us in this room is just a breath away from eternity. One breath. We can't keep playing games, man. We can't keep playing games. Some of us in this room have been playing games for too long. You know who you are. You know who you are. Some of you might be doing great. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. That's him. That's all him. Right? Some of you just need to surrender more of your will to his. Because the other reason why we pursue things or diligently put forth effort is because our wills determine it to be so. And God is asking his will and your will to be in line. And once that happens, you'll do the things God wants you to do. But again, it's not a sprint, it's a crawl. And so here's the grace, right? Because I don't want us to leave us feeling like, dang, Aaron beat us up for like a half hour. I'm beating myself up too, right? But like, so the grace is that wherever you're at in this moment, God just wants you to be better tomorrow than you were today. That's it. He's not asking you to be the Apostle Paul right now. He's not ever asking you to be that. He's asking you to be you, but the you that is in him. Amen? And he's got you on a journey, and the hope is at the end of the journey, you look more like Jesus than you did when you began. So if you were impatient, you become patient. If you were unloving, you become loving. If you weren't kind, you become kind. I had two other scriptures, and we don't need to go there. Are we pursuing the temporary or the eternal? I'm just going to leave us with that question. Are we pursuing the temporary or the eternal? Jesus did say in Matthew 6, 19 through 20, he said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy." So what is Jesus saying? He's saying, you can pursue all the things the world pursues. The difference is those things are going to come to an end. Listen, all of us in this room are collecting stuff for other people, right? I'm collecting stuff for my kids. I have an armadillo in my office right now that my kids want when I die. I don't know why. They just want it because it was dad's, right? All of us in this room, all the money you have, you were saving up for other people. Isn't that infuriating? But we diligently pursue all those things when they're just going to end up getting moth-eaten or rust is going to destroy them. And where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. You know what Jesus is saying? He's saying, pursue the things that will actually last. Because there's reward in you loving people the way he loved. There's reward for you in being kind to people when they're not kind to you. There's reward in doing the things in which God has called you to do. I'm going to go there. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Listen to what Paul says, because this is like huge. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win." He's saying, man, do everything you can to obtain it. Run after it with all of your being. Do everything in your power with the power of God and with your will, connecting with his. Do everything you can to pursue that, to run after it. Some of you haven't run in a long time in this room. I can tell just by looking at you. Amen, preach it, right? But we can all run in the way in which Paul's talking about. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. Why? Because an athlete has to be in diligent pursuit, putting forth all his effort in winning the game. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, listen to what Paul says. Oh my goodness. This is the Apostle Paul, right? This is the guy that we look at and we're like, he had it all together. He was God's gift to all spiritual things, right? He says, "Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." Paul is saying, I put forth all my effort in pursuing this God so at the end of my life, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize in which I told others about. Because listen, man, there's a lot of preachers out there preaching that are totally disqualified. If I'm not pursuing Christ with all my being, how can I expect you to do that? Or what kind of hypocrite would I be to sit up here and tell you, you need to pursue God with all of your being, if I myself am not pursuing him myself with all my being? I need him. And I don't want to get to the end of the road and God look at me and go, I never knew you, man. You never lived for me. You're disqualified. Paul was worried about that. How much more, hello, should you and I be? It's not wrong for you to pursue things that you love to do. So I don't want us to leave here going, Aaron said I can't fish anymore, or hunt, or knit, or do whatever else you love to do, or play basketball. Hello. Whatever effort you're putting into the things you love right now, you need to times that by 10 in your effort to follow Jesus. Whatever your passions are, desires are, pursuits are, it needs to be 10 times that in your relationships and your faith to God. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your love. Lord, we pray that you would help us, Lord God, to pursue you in light of all the other things in our world that are calling out to us to pursue them instead. God, this is a hard message and a tough one, Lord God. It wasn't full of a lot of jokes or fun, but it was full with the word. And Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord God, that you've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Let us, Lord God, be the type of people who pursue you with all of our being. Lord, there are people in our world and in our own sphere of influence who are perishing apart from you, Lord God. Let us see them. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us our sin, Lord God, of pursuing other things more than you. Lord, forgive us of our sin. Lord Jesus, forgive us, for we have loved other things more than you, God. Help us, Lord, for we ask it all to your glory, King Jesus.